If you knew what your true yes was and what your true no was in all areas of your life, would you be able to choose faster and easier? What futures would those choices create? Everyone is capable of connecting to their bodies in a way to have more exuberant and joyful living now and in the future. Now, here is your host of Choosing a Different Future with Ceres.
Hi everyone, I'm Ceres Raquel Rivas Verdejo, and you're here with me on Choosing a Different Future with Ceres. Today's topic is fun with many tongues, conscious cultural competence. Really excited about that. And so if you're new to our show today, this is a show all about the choices that we can make so that we can create a different future for ourselves, for those that we love and care for those that we work with. And today's topic is definitely going to be a lot of examples of that. And it's coming from my experiences as a family and child coach and a speech language pathologist. I've been working with families and individuals and children for probably my whole life, really, but professionally for over 16 years now. One of the most gratifying pieces and places that I get to explore and play and really like use my gifts and capacities. And so we're going to be playing around with our gifts and capacities today. I like acknowledging what our gifts and capacities are. And I do that as well, but as a body and relationship coach. So I connect with y'all's bodies, even though I can't see you right now. And I awaken energies in my bodies that invite you to have a greater connection so you can receive messages from your body, so you can tap into your inner knowing and have more clarity so you can create a phenomenal life. What would that be like? And I also, in the vein of doing that and inviting people to have more connection with their bodies, there is a body process, an energetic body process that involves different hand movements and simple words that awaken these energies so you can have exuberant living your way. And that's the living and dying body process, where we get to add things and people to our lives to have more and create more. And we get to let go of the things that aren't of service to us, that are no longer working for our bodies and our realities. That's the dying piece, that we're going to let that die. Okay. And so we have some events where you can learn about some of these different tools. If you want to meet with me in person, if you want to connect with me virtually, I love connecting with people that are open to these energies and are also willing to have these conversations that are a bit different, a bit weird, and yet super expansive and really congruent with what I would like to see in the world, at least. Maybe that's something that you would like to see in the world. And so we have an awakening class where people get to learn this body process I mentioned on Saturday, June 24th. It's a one-day class. You can participate in person in Charlotte, North Carolina, or you can join us live streaming anywhere you are in the world from any place you would like to connect to. Just have to have good Wi-Fi and a webcam. So that information is at empoweringlightlanguage.com/living and dying. And then we have our expansive energies group. This is a group where you can connect with people around the world that are also prioritizing their self-care. And we do group energy work sessions. We do group facilitation and coaching. And we have a different theme every month. This month's theme is seducing yourself out of limitation. And it's really about how seduction is powerful and alluring. And what if we could actually use that to flirt with the pieces of us that we've either ignored or maybe put on the shelf, and so that we can actually have more of what we'd like to have as a part of our lives faster. We're going to actually use every aspect of us, including the gifts and capacities that maybe we've been rejecting or dismissing, and also actually have that so we can flirt and seduce ourselves into greater possibility. And one of the things that that actually led to this theme was my episode, my chat with Megan Adair a couple weeks ago on flirting with the universe. So definitely check out that episode if you haven't already done so. It's a great chat and gives you an idea of what we're going to be playing with in the Expansive Energies group. And the information for that is at empoweringlightlanguage.com/expansiveenergies. We meet twice a month for 45 minutes. And there's an audio replay as well in case you'd like to go deeper and keep receiving from the session, or if you can't make it live. You get to experience it that way. And it's wonderful. And then we have our Being a Different Possibility monthly calls. These are complimentary group calls. People chime in, they send in questions. It's about creating a sense of community and giving parents, educators, therapists, anyone who cares for families and would like to create something different with their families or beyond what they've experienced with their families. And so you can find information on that at empoweringlightlanguage.com/events. And our next one is March 27th on organization, clearing, and making space for the new. And then the one after that is April 24th, planting seeds for communication success. And we have May 22nd, thriving with your family, making sure that you're looking at, are you living, are you dying with your family? And then what would you actually really like to have? So please join us for any and all of those events. And if you have any questions about that, you can connect with me and my team at empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. That's my email address. And I will reply usually within 24 hours. So pretty prompt. And we got some great comments and questions from our previous episodes. Speaking of our episode with Megan Adair, I have a comment sent in. Loved listening to your episode with Megan Adair on flirting with the universe, especially when she discussed her journey with reconnecting with herself. I can relate. It's inspiring me to connect with the activities and habits I've put to the side the last few years. Thank you for having her on your show. Thanks for listening. I will pass on your message to Megan. And Megan, if you're listening, check that out. How cool. And hi. somebody else sent in a comment about the Limitless Azúcar series that I've been doing with my mom. The last two episodes have been about when worlds collide. And then we're going to be talking about raising kids with diverse or unique needs in the next two episodes. Next one, I think, is April 28th, if I remember correctly. And so this person said, I just got that what azúcar means. Yes, azúcar literally translated means sugar, but also can mean sweetness or like the joy of life. It became very popular from Celia Cruz, who has a song, and her tagline a lot of times in her songs is azúcar, and she'll yell it out while singing her salsa and dancing salsa in her song. She's a amazing woman, was an amazing woman. She's now since passed, but thank you for that. Really funny. Yeah, we get it when we get it. So limitless sweetness, limitless sugar, a limitless joy of having you in your life. And even in the midst of whatever may be going on. And we talked in that series a lot about some pretty challenging situations that we've either experienced ourselves or that we've overcome or that we've worked with other people to overcome. And so, yay, you got it. Another comment on that series, it would have been nice if growing up with my mom would have had more options, would have been more open to quote unquote options in the world for a young woman. Alas, she is learning through me and realizing that certain things are not required in order to have a good life. Yeah, I get that. And I think part of what you probably got in the series is I've learned so much from my mom and she's learning so much from me and my choices. And it keeps piggybacking off of each other because we're open to that, because of the type of relationship we are, because of the conversations we're willing to have that we could easily avoid, but we choose not to avoid. And I actually talk about that more in an interview I did with Megan Walrod, who's going to be joining us on April 7th. I was on her podcast, Brave Living, Brave Women, Brave Living is her podcast. And it's the series that she's doing on her podcast right now. And I think that comes out at the end of this month in March, perhaps. And then she'll be on our show here, Choosing a Different Future, talking about ditching yourself and really saying bye-bye to codependence. And since we've talked about codependence in other episodes, this is going to be a great continuation of some of the other things we've been talking about. So Yes, I'm glad that more is possible with you and your mom now, and you're getting that, and you're both getting to be inspired by each other and have each other's backs. Thank you for the comments and messages, everyone. All right, so today's topic, fun with many tongues, conscious cultural competence. So I'm going to read the description a little bit. It says, how much fun could you have playing with many tongues? In order to engage with the world personally and professionally, it's essential to develop cultural competence. For each of us, there are points of views we hold and experiences we have had that can bolster our abilities or stop us from having ease with learning different languages and connecting with different cultures. By consciously and energetically clearing our limiting beliefs, we can access our awareness around the energy in verbal and nonverbal communication so that we can have more fun with many tongues. And I get that this is going to be probably the first of multiple. So that's why I put part one in the title of this one. So if you're liking this, check out and follow us, subscribe to wherever you're following us so that you can make sure you check into the other parts in the series. And I'm going to have the information up for those upcoming episodes as soon as possible. And so I've been working with individuals, children, and families from diverse cultures, from different socioeconomic statuses, and my experience spans, more than 40 languages. But I don't speak, I'm not proficient in those 40 languages. So how have I been able to communicate and connect and create a different possibility with all of these families, all these people, if I'm not speaking all of those languages? Well, this is what we're going to talk about today. And so I'll be sharing what I've been doing when I've been working with people with different backgrounds and both linguistically and culturally different backgrounds. And I'd also like us to invite more ease into what we're already doing. So I love starting with acknowledgement, and we're going to look at that as well as other things that are required for us to have this conscious cultural competence. One of the things with this is we have to be willing to go beyond this reality and our limiting beliefs around learning a new language, around connection, around what we're capable of. So one of the things with this is we need to have an awareness about where we stand with this and what we'd like to get out of learning this new language, out of connecting with this person. So for me, conscious cultural competence means a couple of different things. One, from a speech and language standpoint, like my governing body in the United States is the American Speech, Language, and Hearing Association. So that is a national accreditation governing entity that handles licensure and certification and training and making sure that as a speech language pathologist, anyone who has those credentials, the CCCs that they're called at the end of my name, those letters after my degrees and things, what that means is that it includes you having this cultural competence where you're willing to be versatile in how you interact with people. You're willing to use what you know about language and about learning and about behavior and choice to navigate whatever systems and places that you're working in, whatever families you're working with, whatever clients you're interacting with, so that you can invite them to have their communication, to have what they would like to have as a part of their lives. And it really is getting out of your preconceptions. So more and more in ASHA, the American Speech, Language, and Hearing Association, they've been really emphasizing the importance of cultural competence because they're seeing that a lot of clinicians don't really get that much experience in this. They might have one class in their grad school program, and then they're thrown into these work settings, hospitals, clinics, schools, completely unprepared for a lot of the different people and considerations that they would have to be interacting with. And so it's really important when you're having cultural competence to look at all of that And then the piece about conscious cultural competence is the awareness piece. It's not just a class. It's not just a checking off of the box. Oh, I took this, I learned this, I've had this type of client, so I got it now. No, it's actually about being so willing to ask questions and not assume that you actually are continually expanding your world and getting to know yourself as you're getting to know these other people, these families, this other person. So an example, I was in Colorado this past weekend, and my friend that I was visiting couldn't take me to the airport on the way back. They picked me up from the airport, but on the way back, they couldn't. So I went into, and I got an Uber, and I went into the car, and the gentleman was a kind of a grizzly bearded white man. And at first he kind of gave me this look, and I kind of gave him this look, and I gave him a big smile, and I was like, hey, thanks for picking me up. You know, how's it going? And we started talking about some things. And over the course of the conversation, he told me how he's in his, I think, 60s, and he has an 8-year-old daughter. And so immediately he's telling me, because he found out that I work with families and children and all these things, that he was really grateful that I didn't assume anything about, oh, he got suddenly this woman pregnant by accident or something like that. And I guess that's a lot of what he's gotten from other people. But interestingly, when his daughter was born, he's like, it's interesting that you're in healthcare. When my daughter was born, I was in the hospital. I was waiting in the waiting area at one point, and the nurse, I think it was, walked up to me and assumed, hey, grandpa, would you like to see your grandchild? Assuming that he was grandpa because of his age, instead of asking questions. And I've learned not to do that, especially around roles of who's what. But I've also was like, trial by fire. As soon as I got out of grad school, I was in the Chicago Public Schools. And so there were a lot of alternative families, blended families, grandparents raising their kids, but then raising their grandkids, but then being called mom. They weren't called grandma, they were called mom. And so I would always ask, well, how would you like to be referred to? What's your role? These types of things, and going into it with really being consciously aware before I even said anything, what are some of the assumptions that might be embedded in what I'm about to say? And so one of the reasons why I mention this is because it's really important for us to be aware of our assumptions about a language and about the people that we're trying to connect with, or a culture that we're trying to connect with. So part of why I started doing that is because my purpose in this planet, in this world, I feel, is for people to connect with greater ease to each other, for people to tap into their gifts and capacities, for there to be a lot less hatred and separation, and for us to look at where we have these commonalities and where we can actually create something together. And so one of the things that I'd like for each of us to look at is, what outcome would you like? Why is it that you're interested in learning this new language? Is it for fun? Is it to honor and respect another culture? Is it for work, where you need this language to have more ease with the clients or the patients that you're working with? Or something else? What are you looking for? What's pulling you to learn this new language? Is it like, ooh, I really like how this sounds? Oh, I'm really interested in this person. They're really attractive. And so if I learn this language, we can connect in a different way or in a better way. So really looking at this, because why we might be interested in learning the language or connecting may already have some assumptions and some prejudices embedded in it. And so it's really, really important for us to look at that as we're learning these new languages, as we're trying to connect and have these conversations with people, so that we don't unintentionally offend, we don't unintentionally disrespect people. And so I told the gentleman that in the Uber, I was like, if it were me, I would say, hey, who are you exactly? What's your role in the family? Oh, you're the dad. Oh my gosh, nice to meet you. Okay, given that you're dad, would you like to meet your daughter? That kind of a thing. I've learned to ask these questions, and there's so many more questions that I'm going to give you some ideas on what to consider and use so that you don't put your foot in your mouth as much. We all do it. We've all had moments when we put our foot in our mouths, and we can significantly reduce that if we consider and ask ourselves some of the questions that I'm going to be bringing up today. So it's time for our first break. Gosh, you are listening to Choosing a Different Future with myself, Ceres, on the Inspired Choices Network. And when we return, we will continue to discuss fun with many tongues, conscious cultural competence. We'll be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Ceres, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Ceres is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Ceres. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Ceres through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com. Or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Ceres Raquel Rivas Verdejo on Choosing a Different Future with Ceres. And today, our show topic is Fun with Many Tongues, Conscious Cultural Competence. And so make sure that you are connecting with us on any of our 450 platforms for TV or podcasts. And our show is brought to you by Activated Liquid Collagen from Life Vantage. Liquid collagen is a different, better collagen supplement. Get real results you can see and feel. And check out the Activated Liquid Collagen on Life Vantage's and Life Vantage's other natural plant-based products that addresses anti-aging, gut health, energy, and more by going to www.ceresrivas.lifevantage.com, and the link is on this episode's page as well. So before we went on break, we were talking about some of the things that are required for having cultural competence and what cultural competence means. Conscious cultural competence is a whole different ballpark because we're actually going to be not just connecting to our awareness, and we're going to talk more about the different questions to do that, but we're also going to be looking at our bodies and the bodies of other people. So part of what makes me quite different, but very effective in my work in learning new languages and working with families that don't necessarily speak English or Spanish, which is the languages that I'm the most proficient in, even though I do speak a bit of French and I'm learning Japanese right now. One of the things that helps me with that is I actually don't just base my decisions and my choices on what people are saying. I actually look at the energetics. I look at their body. I not just body language, but actual like the what the body is saying to my body. Okay. And so there are times when I'm working with an interpreter in, let's say, Arabic, and I would have the interpreter there, and before the interpreter tells me what the family said, I already got it and I'm replying, because I got the message on an energetic level, right? Like pictures to my head and clear messages to my body of what the person was saying, what they were asking for. And so, yes, I'm picking up on the kinesthetics, on their body language, but if we're willing to actually not have the point of view and the limiting belief that language is really all about the verbal, we can tap into the nonverbal and the energetics to learn faster, to connect quicker, and to actually create something totally different that's super, super yummy and fun and expansive, very honoring of everyone involved. So I also did that with Italian. I was teaching 5 days of classes in Italy right before the pandemic blew up there. And I almost got stuck in Italy. And I had my amazing interpreter and connector, Loredana Gaspari, and she was there with me. And we were recording the audio, and I had to actually stop myself from replying to things too fast because I was picking up on what they were saying. And there's some similarities between Italian and Spanish. So a lot of times I could jumpstart and use those similarities to speed up my comprehension. So I wanted to respond to them. And I was looking at them, even though the interpreter was there, I was looking at them and they were looking at me. And it was like, we were already there connecting. We wanted to keep that flow going. So this is one of the things that's possible when you're able to tap into your body. And when you don't have the point of view that the verbal is what dictates, because of all of these things, I love language, I love words. And so I was really putting a lot of value on that. And you can still enjoy it and revel in it and play with those words and those sounds while also recognizing that there's a lot of things underneath that you can tap into that can support you being able to understand what's going on a lot faster and easier. So what are your beliefs about learning a new language? You know, I hear all the time, and definitely there's a lot of research that tells you that there's this there's this key period of time for learning language. And yet we all know people that have learned languages in high school and in adulthood. So what is it that, what makes the difference between those people being able to learn the language and a child learning the language? Well, one, I think the people that learn those languages as teenagers and as adults, one, they don't have the point of view that it's too late. They don't have the point of view that they're too old to learn something new and to learn a new language. And the other part too, is if you're in a culture, if you're in a society, in a household that values multilingualism, then you're already around that vibration, the energy, the that perspective of there, it's important. It's something that will make you grow and get you out of your comfort zone to learn a new language. So let's do it, because that's one of the things that they would like to have as a part of their life. So for you, what are some of your limiting beliefs around learning a new language? Is it around age? Is it around time? It takes a certain amount of time. There's a lot of research in my field in speech language pathology of, oh, it takes about 7 years to learn a new language. You can learn the social things in the first couple of years, but to be truly proficient in the new language, it takes 7. I'm not sure I agree with that. I've definitely met people that they've been able to do that a lot faster, like in 2 or 3 years. And even before those 2 or 3 years, they were able to get some key phrases and the things that they really wanted to learn in that language way sooner. And immersion is really, really helpful, but not always possible. If you're not going to drop yourself into that other country or into that community where you're forced to practice and practice and learn it a lot and have this multi-sensory experience, well, then how can you learn this new language? So I have some tips on that, and I'm going to put a pin on that for right now because I want to finish what I was talking about too before the break. So the gentleman with the daughter, the 8-year-old daughter, and hi, if you ever hear me and you find this, it was such a contribution to talk with him because it really highlights too that he, even though we were both speaking English, he spoke English differently than me. So this also taps into the different dialectical differences, the different socioeconomic impacts in language. You know, there is African American vernacular English as well. And even though it's English, it's a different dialect of English. And for a long time, it was seen as less than. It was seen as not as valuable, as not as valid of a language, which I completely disagree with. And so now it's coming out that there's actual very clear grammar and patterns and within it, just like any other language. And it's not about dismissing that. It's about being aware of those patterns in that language and then helping the children and the adults that would like to learn more formal English or school English be able to use that as well and code switch and switch between those different dialects and those different languages. So I found that it's really interesting when I was talking to the man on the Uber that, like, wow, we're speaking the same English for the most part, but then there's certain words that he would say that were different, and me being willing to ask questions about that. And I learned that at an early age, asking questions. In Spanish, there are so many different dialects of Spanish. Mexicans speak very differently than Puerto Ricans, which is what I was grew up learning, Puerto Rican and Dominican Spanish. And but also Spain Spanish is completely different. It's like another country. When I visited Barcelona, completely different. So asking those questions and being willing to be curious and open is really important to being consciously culturally competent. Really looking at not assuming, hey, I know Spanish just because I learned it here. My mom, when I was traveling with her in Barcelona, she was like, I feel stupid. I feel like I don't know Spanish here. And it's like, because you don't know this Spanish. So instead of saying to myself, and I'm not as proficient in Puerto Rican Spanish as my mom, but I didn't feel stupid because I was so used to asking questions about language all the time with all of the clients and people that I'm interacting with. So I was like, yeah, this is uncomfortable, but I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to lean into this. Let's get curious. Let's have some more fun. And so it took a couple days. She got into the groove. So did I. And we learned a lot of new different words in Spanish for the words that we already knew in Spanish. So it can show up in a multiple different ways, right? It's time for our second break, y'all. My goodness. Oh, time flies. We're going to get into some questions too that were sent in. Don't worry. I haven't forgotten those questions. If you sent in a question, thank you. So you're listening to Choosing a Different Future show with Ceres, with myself, Ceres, on the Inspired Choices Network. And when we return, we will continue to discuss fun with many tongues, conscious cultural competence. We'll be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Ceres, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Ceres is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Ceres. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Connect with Ceres through her website, EmpoweringLightLanguage.com. Or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I am Ceres Raquel Rivas Verdejo. I'm Choosing a Different Future with Ceres. And today, our show topic is Fun with Many Tongues, Conscious Cultural Competence. Our show is brought to you by Activated Liquid Collagen from LifeVantage. Liquid Collagen is a different, better collagen supplement. Get real results that you can see and feel. Check out the Activated Liquid Collagen and LifeVantage's other natural plant-based products to address anti-aging, gut health, energy, and more by going to www.cirisrivas.lifevantage.com and go to this episode's show page for any links. So before we went on break, we were talking some more about actually having awareness about our prejudices and our limiting points of views, our limiting beliefs around learning a new language and around another culture. And one of the things with that too is any hidden agendas, really looking at any hidden agendas that you might have about connecting with a certain person or a certain culture. Like, gosh, there's so many examples. Which one first? So one of the ones that comes to mind for me is I used to work directly in person in homes with early intervention, which is a program, a state-run program for birth to three-year-olds. And I was providing speech and language therapy in the homes. And I went into homes where language was not spoken, was not the primary language all the time, from Gujarati and Arabic to French and German and Polish. Of course, Spanish as well, being that I'm bilingual in Spanish. And so one of the things that showed up over and over again that I got lots of practice in doing is, hey, what points of views do I have here before I go into this household? And I remember clearly there's this one family I worked with in Albany Park, in the Albany Park area of Chicago, which is one of the most diverse neighborhoods in Chicago. It's one of my favorites. I love it. And this family was from, I want to say it was from Afghanistan. And yes, it was from, they were from Afghanistan, and they spoke Pashto, which is a dialect of Arabic. And mom came in and she doesn't have her head wrap on, which I was expecting. And then I was like, oh, that's right. I learned from when I studied Islam, because they're Muslim family. I learned from that, you know, in front of a woman, it's fine. They have the head uncovered. And with family members, male family members, that's not out in public, and other men that are not family members, that they would cover up their hair and things like that. And yet I was wondering, should I have brought a scarf? And so instead of feeling like, oh, that's a stupid question, I shouldn't ask that, I asked the mom. I was like, is there a certain way you would like me to dress when I'm in your house? I definitely made sure I had my arms covered, even though I was visiting them in, you know, 90 degree Fahrenheit weather in Chicago summer. And I go into a house, and instead of immediately going in and going into work, I take a lay of the land. I saw that there were shoes at the door, so I took off my shoes, which is also very common in a lot of different Asian cultures. I'm used to that. And I also looked and saw and greeted the men in the family that were there, because it was a multi-generational household. I greeted them respectfully. I saw right away that mom was going to be taking the lead, and I would be interacting with mom. And I checked in with her proficiency with English and asked her how she learned, how she best learns, so that I could adjust my language and the types of supports and materials that I brought into the household while I was working with her son, who was experiencing some speech and language delays. And my outcome that I was looking for, one, I wanted to make sure that they felt respected. I wanted to honor their culture. I wanted to let them know that it wasn't about their child being proficient in English. It was about their child communicating in any language that they're exposed to, English, all the dialects of Arabic, and anything else. And so that they could really know what their child was needing, and for them to be clear and confident about that, instead of worrying, am I meeting my child's needs? Are they behind? Are they going to struggle in school? And then I wanted to build a relationship. For however long I was going to be with this family, I wanted for them to have a healthy relationship where they felt free to ask me questions, to be vulnerable. And so because that was one of the outcomes, all those were the outcomes I wanted, that changes the type of language I use. That changes the type of the way I would communicate and how I would approach all these different interactions with her. I saw that grandma was involved, that grandma wanted to observe the sessions as well. So for me, I would be open to anybody in the family. Uncle's here. Hi, uncle. Okay, grandma. Hi, grandma. Do you have any questions? What would you like for us to be doing? How does this child interact with you? What are the activities you do? And I would incorporate that input instead of being like, I'm the expert, I come in and I'm doing this. And so it's not just in professional life, but people do that even personally, where they're like, this is my agenda, this is what I want, so this is how I come at it. And that's not our best choice. That isn't the best way for us to create a connection. If that is, again, if that was what you'd like, if that's the purpose of you learning this new language or you connecting with this other culture. One of the things with that as well is it actually would have gotten in the way of the child improving in communication if I wasn't honoring the family, incorporating their input, their expertise. They really are the experts of this child and of what's possible. And a lot of professionals, unfortunately, I see this all the time, they go into the homes, or they, if it's a doctor, they go into an interaction with the family, and there's a superiority, there's a condescension, even patronizing tone that is used that they don't even realize. and so really, I think that they haven't necessarily done the work of checking themselves at the door before they walk in and be like, what assumptions am I having, am I bringing to this interaction? And do I still want to hold on to those assumptions? Maybe we could let those die, like the living and dying body process, let those die. So this is really, really important for us to look at, for us to have that openness and curiosity. And one of the resources that I've used in the past, and I really like using periodically, but I'm pretty adept now that I've been interacting with a lot of different cultures, is this, there's a website called culturegrams.com where you can go there, you can put a country, you can put a city, you can put a language in there. I usually use it for specifically for a country. And not only will it tell you the languages spoken in that country, they'll tell you the tradition, they'll tell you the values, they'll tell you about what are some of the considerations of that culture, the holidays. So then that's another way that you can honor and respect the people that you're interacting with, is you can ask them about those holidays. It could be a icebreaker conversation, like, oh, that holiday reminds me of this holiday that I celebrate right now. And I was reminded by my producer today that it's St. Patrick's Day today. So happy St. Patrick's Day for any of you that are celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Holidays are a great conversation starter, because even if you don't celebrate that holiday yourself, there's always a commonality between those holidays and one of the ones that you probably do celebrate or that you're familiar with. And so again, it builds this commonality. It bridges, it closes the gap between what you may consider a difference, so that you actually feel like, oh, we're in this together on this planet. We're in this together on this project, or to support your child's needs. So that's really cool and really different. Gosh. Okay, there's some questions that were sent in. So somebody sent in questions about how they can learn about a new culture in a real and genuine way. Definitely check out the culturegrams.com website, but also actually starting from where your interests are. So for instance, I really love movies and I really love music and plays and theater and things like that. So what are the things that you're interested in? And start by learning about those things, the movies of the culture that you're interested in. That's also a really great way to pick up on the language. Like, you know, more times than not now, depending on the language, you can get the captions or you can get the subtitles for it and the movies. And so you can be listening to it in the native language, in that language that you're trying to learn, and then have the subtitles in English if you speak English. And so then you're really getting immersion, like, oh, when they say this, this is what they're saying. Okay, and grab those words of the things that are important to you. It'll be more likely for you to be invested and be able to integrate that language and that those vocabulary if it's something that you're interested in. If it's something that is really, that there's no sense of joy in, it's a lot trickier. It's not impossible, it's just more challenging. And so then it's about looking at how you specifically learn. So one of my specialties is taking into account how someone learns and then finding the materials and finding the avenues in which that person can learn at that new skill or develop and expand deeper the skills that they already have. And so if you already speak one or two languages, well, what was the ways that you learned that language? If you remembered, it might be a while ago. And what are the ways that you learn new skills now? If you learned to dance a new dance, what were you watching the dance and then you started doing it? Is it about hearing the instructions and it's an auditory thing? Is it about reading the steps and like, or drawing the doodles for yourself and that's more visual? Is it a combination of those things? Is it something where you need to actually connect it to another experience or another type of dance? And then you're like, oh, these are the commonalities and it's more experiential related and the memory based things. So for everybody, it's different. And so that's a really going to be a key piece for you if you're learning about a new culture and you want to do it in a genuine way. Also, there are a lot of groups around different cultures, enthusiastic, you know, people that are enthusiastic about language learning. It's like Spanish lovers and French lovers. I just watched this show called Love Trip on Hulu. It probably comes on a different network, but I don't remember what network it is. And it's all about these women that are looking for husbands in France, but they're American and they're from different parts of America. And they really love French and they love French culture. And they went to France to find these husbands and they're going through this different dating process. It's a reality show. It's super fun. And one of the things that they mentioned there was that, oh, I liked French. I like learning about French because of this, this, and this. And they all had different interests. One of them was about fashion. So they really love fashion. So they learned everything about French fashion and how that connects to American fashion and all the other worlds. And so the vocabulary of that was very visual and there was tactiles and you can feel the fabric and you can move around and how it spins. And so I was like, oh, I wonder if that's a way for some people that learn best that way to learn a new language. I'm not sure. So it's time for our next break. I can talk about this for hours. I have talked about this for hours, but it's time for our next break, y'all. Oh, you are listening to Choosing a Different Future with myself, Cedis, on the Inspired Choices Network. And when we return, we will continue to discuss fun with many tongues, conscious cultural competence. We'll be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Cedis is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you. This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Cedis. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Cedis through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com, or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. You are listening to Choosing a Different Future with myself, Cedis Raquel Rivas Verdejo. And today our show topic is fun with many tongues, conscious cultural competence. And before we went on break, we were talking about how to choose beyond some of our limiting beliefs and our prejudices around learning a different language, and also being considering some of the things that can facilitate us learning a different language, such as how we uniquely learn. And so one of the things that I really love too, in addition to the example about movies, the music too, music, even in preschoolers, right? In early childhood, they talk about using music and nursery rhymes and things to work on language. It's an amazing tool, and it doesn't stop in early childhood. We can use that as in teenagers in adulthood to learn new languages. And so let's say you've gotten this certain vocabulary that you're trying to incorporate. Well, what if you created a song with that vocabulary and you could create this little earworm for yourself to have it go into your head and stick? I still do that too. There's this movie, Long Kiss Goodnight, with Gina Davis and Samuel L. Jackson. Maybe some of you have watched it. And Samuel L. Jackson in that movie, as he's putting things away, he's singing a song, da 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 da. I'm putting my belt on, da 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 da, and my keys on the dish, da 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 da. And he like has this rhythm for himself that helps him remember where he's putting things. Well, that can be used to also learn a new language too. So what? Using a song that you already like or melody you already like, he obviously likes the da 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 da, right? And he uses it to punctuate things. What is it for you? And you could have fun. You could have way more fun with learning a new language and connecting with people than maybe you've considered before. So take into account your interests. Take into account, like, you know, how your body would like to incorporate and integrate these different information. Make sure to get messy, be willing to be uncomfortable, and check out some of the groups that also love the languages that you're trying to explore and that you're trying to play with. And then lastly, I'd like to mention two things. One, practice, 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 practice. I studied French for 3 years and in high school, and then I visited France multiple times. But because I don't really have anybody to speak with in French in person or like in conversation so much now, I had to go and seek out somebody to practice with. So the consistency is key. That really helps a lot. And then also don't judge yourself. Don't judge the speed in which you're learning. Don't judge how you uniquely learn. That's really, really important, because that's going to actually get in the way of you having the capacity to integrate and have this new skill in your repertoire and to connect with the people. Like if you're saying, oh, why would they want to connect with me? What do I bring to the table? Well, that judgment is not going to help you connect. That judgment is not going to help you have a new friend and a new connection in your life. There's so many ways that this judgment can show up. And so we're definitely going to talk about some more ways to practice this and go beyond judgment with these different conscious cultural competencies in the other parts, the other series. We're going to look at this a little bit more. Some questions were asked and about poverty and about working with adoptive families and how to be having cultural competence with that. So we'll definitely have that as well. Okay. I'm not going to let y'all go on that. Just make sure you check out those future episodes on this topic. And then please join us next week. Our topic next week is coming out as a healer. And I'm going to read the description for you. Coming out can take many forms and serve many purposes, from bumbling steps and awkward stop starts to annoying questions and avoidance of the pokes and prods of others. It can be empowering, challenging, and more. It's important to look at where you are hiding, where you are showing up totally as yourself, and where modulation and nuance will create more. As you respect yourself, meet people where they're at, and avoid the pitfalls of frustration, resentment, anger, and shame. And this is a continuation of our first coming out episode that we did on January 6th. And you can check out the link to that. It's on the episode for coming out as a healer, or you can just search coming out under our episodes and you'll be able to find that one. You don't need to have listened to that episode to benefit from this upcoming one at all, but it may be a contribution to you. We definitely talked about a lot of different things with that one. And we're going to look at healers and empaths and those that are sensitive. And in this upcoming one on coming out as a healer, because there's some questions that were sent to us about this, so that people can show up as themselves, build their pride, have self-respect, and pave the way for the futures that include more of them in it. So I really hope you can join us for that episode. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm so grateful that y'all sent in questions that led to us being like, let's keep it flowing. Let's keep it going. I really love getting that feedback for y'all. And hopefully today's conversation on Fun with Many Tongues invites you to have way more fun with your tongue and anyone else's. And so thank you so much, beautiful people. I hope that we get to play again more moving forward, and make sure that whatever you're choosing, you're not judging yourself or anyone else, and so that you can have more of your exuberant living and for you to choose to have a completely different future beyond what's been projected and expected of you, including what you've been expecting and projecting at yourself. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and have a wonderful rest of your day, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Choosing a Different Future show. Series returns Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Mountain, and 7 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, keep choosing what will work for you and your body, your own unique way honoring what will work for you. Thank you for listening to the Choosing a Different Future show. Series returns Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Mountain, and 7 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, keep choosing what will work for you and your body, your own unique way honoring what will work for you.